I love how dramatic that intro is, first of all.
I felt like I was on the news.
Really, I know, really get everyone's attention. Hello, welcome to Getting Personal with Compt. I am Lauren Schneider. I'm the head of communications at Compt. We are a reimbursement platform for employee perks. And I have a wonderful guest with me today. We've spoken a few times before this, so I'm very excited that you all get to hear Rachel's story as well. Rachel Robinson of MindUp. You are the People and Strategic Operations Manager. There we go. I can talk today. I haven't had my entire coffee yet.
It's a bit of a mouthful. I think when you work at a startup, you wear so many hats.
That is so true. I'm getting used to my new title as well. So Rachel, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Lauren. It's so nice to be here. Thank you for chatting with me. I'm Rachel. I'm the People and Strategic Operations Manager at MindUp, and I have worked in HR now for about 10 to 12 years. I joined MindUp as part of the Series A investment of our business, and that was at the end of last year. And my role is really to own and build a people function. It's the first role in the business where I guess people and culture have been the primary focus. As we grow and as a business, we enable employees to change how they are supported by their employers with their mental health. And we provide easy access to the best support, whatever and wherever they need it to be their best selves in their lives. And at the moment, we're currently supporting over 50,000 people across four continents.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing to be here. We were founded in 2020. And for me, joining a startup business where I can build a culture that I can be really proud of is so exciting. And more so because our service is something that I am so deeply passionate about on a level that I guess I would never be able to express.
You are speaking my language. I can totally relate, which is why I'm so glad that we are talking today. We are going to be diving into the importance of supporting employee mental health. So to set the stage, I was hoping that you would share your personal connection to this and why it was so important for you to continue your career in a position where you would be passionate about what you're doing and support your own mental health and then that of others as well.
Sure. So I guess given the statistic, you know, that one in four people in their lives will be affected by mental health in some way, it's no surprise that I myself have been cut deep by that and by lows of mental health. This isn't backed by any science by any means, but I feel that like my makeup is more susceptible to the extremities of mental health. And most people probably wouldn't know from meeting me, but I feel anxiety most days. To be honest, like I probably have that high functioning anxiety, you know, that flight or flight feeling.
I very much know that fight or flight feeling.
But like when I think about my childhood, I totally get it. And it's only in the last few years that I've really thought about it and its prevalence. And I guess in many ways, you know, our early childhood really sets the scene and the tone for the rest of our lives. And I don't tell this story much, and I don't tell it to because I want people to feel sorry for me. Or for me, it's more so, you know, it's important to be kind to everyone because you just don't know what people have been through. And, and I guess for me, I just have had to put it in a bit of a box. Where do I start? So long story short, my dad was diagnosed with bipolar depression, and that was following redundancy at work back in the 90s now. And I don't know all the details because I was only young at the time, you know, I was less than 10 years old, but I know that he was offered electric shock treatment. And I guess at the time that was considered like, you know, the cure for these things. And he changed. He became completely obsessed with like these unreachable standards of everything from appearance to success and I guess when it wasn't obtainable, it just all got a bit ugly for him. He wasn't faithful to my mum. He was violent to her, to me and my brothers. And when she finally, you know, decided that enough was enough and got the strength to leave, he started to stalk us. We were, you know, escorted home by police from school most days. We had an alarm straight to the police station. And he was in so many times in prison for this, for what he did to us. His family completely disowned him. And eventually, when I was at university the day that I got the call, he took his own life.
Oh my gosh. That is, first of all, just, I said this to you before, that I'm so sorry to hear that. And I know you don't want people to feel sorry for you, but that's so much for you to, you and your siblings and your mom to handle, and you as a child as well. So I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad you're sharing this.
Thank you. Like I said, at the time I was too young to understand it. But you know, now as an adult, I guess I get how tormented he was. I just feel so bad that he was failed by so many people. And yeah, you're right. It can be, you know, quite painful to talk about. And, you know, at the time, I didn't really have anyone to talk to about it, you know, it never crossed my mind. I just wanted to be strong for my mum, who, you know, was on her own. It was the first time she was a housewife, and all of a sudden she has to provide for three children, you know, have to re-upskill herself and go back to work. And I guess, you know, I've had to live with that anxiety. And like I was saying to you before, there's a real fire balance for me of being, you know, driven by those high standards and then being consumed by them. But, you know, it's allowed me to do some amazing things. It spurred my decision to study law, and it's how I ended up falling into HR. So to go back to your original question, my first role in HR was, you know, really right place, right time. And I was so lucky to have the most amazing boss. And she knows who she is, and I will, you know, always be grateful for her. And my perception of HR for me is about, you know, being employee focused and, you know, going against the grain of, you know, the more traditional human resource model. And, you know, I've got high standards. And I guess when I became a mum myself, I started to see that overused strength of perfectionism. And with the pandemic, I just burnt out. And I was offered coaching and, you know, therapy in my role. But for me, it was too late. So to continue a career, you know, after maternity leave at a company that better supported me was really important.
I completely understand that. That is something that when you and I first spoke, I believe a month ago or something, that completely resonated with me. It was like we were living the same kind of lives at that point in time, where it was the culmination of all of the things that happened in our childhood, unresolved anxiety. Now we become a mom and we see, wait a second, I don't want this for my child. And we see it in the workplace as well. I think that's why we've become so ingrained in creating a better human experience for not just ourselves, but the people that we work with, which I think speaks to your role in HR. So tell me a little bit more.
Yeah. So I guess the silver lining of the whole, you know, the pandemic and leaving my job at the time was I got 2 years to spend with my daughter, and I will never get that time back. So I was really grateful. And I genuinely didn't believe I was ever going to go back. I actually started up like a side business, like making clothes. And I did that for a few years. But I remember, you know, because everyone was working at home and my other half was as well. And I was always like hearing his Zoom calls when I was at home. And I remember overhearing he was on a call, and I remember him talking to his HR partner, and they were trying to get to the bottom of the situation. And I was in my head, I was, you know, starting to, you know, solve it myself. And I even spoke to him about it after. And I guess I'd sat on it for quite a long time, and it just made me realize how much I missed, you know, being in HR and how much I missed it. So here I am.
Well, I am so glad that it brought you back to HR, because it brought you to me today. And I'm so glad that we've been able to connect. We actually, for those watching, we connected in one of the many HR Slack communities. So I'm very grateful for those. So I want to talk a little bit more about employee mental health and how we need to be supporting people more meaningfully. I imagine that the story that you shared really resonates with a lot of people. And while they might have some similarities there, every person's journey is unique. So how do we support those unique needs?
Yeah. And it kind of goes back to that, what I was saying about, you know, you just have to be kind to everybody because you just don't know what people have gone through. And there are so many stats, like a quote, why it's important. A really prevalent one is the World Health Organization. They estimated just before the pandemic that there were over 970 million people who were living with a mental health disorder. And, you know, it's estimated now that it's 25% more. Wow. And this is only based on, you know, reported data. So, you know, you've got to think about how many people are, you know, living with this in silence without that support. And then when you think about, you know, everybody who's working, only 10% of those employees are seeking mental health support. Mm-hmm. And the cost of this to, you know, employers is over $1 trillion a year in lost productivity, according to the World Health Organization. And it just breaks my heart just thinking about that.
It's incredible to think how many people are struggling with this, but more so how many people are struggling that we don't know about. I mean, you and I, for example, I didn't admit it to myself for a very long time. I was just like, this is like, maybe I'm high functioning anxiety, but like I'm doing all the things that I need to do. I'm succeeding in my career. I'm balancing my work and my life and I'm fine, but I was not fine. So I was one of those undocumented statistics for so long. And like, how are we supposed to help people who don't know that they need the help? Yeah, we spend so much time at work. So we need some kind of support system there. And if not there, I guess in our home life.
Absolutely. And I guess that's, you know, what I get up in the morning to do. I've spent my entire career, you know, helping businesses be better or do better. And I've always prided myself on being that values-driven person rather than the person that pushes the paper and the policies around, because I genuinely, you know, love making a difference. But it also does mean that you have to have some difficult conversations and support, you know, a lot of people with a lot of issues. And that can be, you know, quite draining on yourself. But my litmus test for, you know, working in this field is always to be treating people how I would expect my friends or my family to be treated in their jobs. And that's really important to me. I've been in, you know, HR for such a long time, and I've lost count of how many hundreds of people I've been there for in the best days, but also the darkest days. And, you know, I've been an end user myself of a lot of coaching and therapy, and I will always be thankful for that. So I guess for me, working at MindUp makes me really excited to be part of something that is just, you know, bigger than me.
So tell me more about MindUp and how you were able to either use it for yourself or how your customers are able to use it. I want to hear more about the employee mental health support that goes beyond what we're traditionally seeing in the market, like health insurance, EAPs, things like that.
Sure. If I'd have had this benefit as a HR person in other roles, you know, I would have been so happy. It's a thing that I, you know, wish I had in my toolbox in other jobs. And we're really lucky at MindUp. We get to, you know, drink our own champagne, and we get the support that we need. We get weekly sessions with our practitioner network. I guess a lot of businesses that we talk to wonder how we differ from the traditional model of employee assistant programs. And, you know, what I would say is that we offer longer term solutions, whereas an EAP model would be short term solution based. And it's normally just counseling. They don't offer things like coaching. And if they do, it tends to be at the cost to the user. As an example, like grief isn't something an EAP would normally support. It's not really classed as solution based. So that user would normally be signposted to another resource. And when I used this model in previous roles, an EAP model, I had to wait 2 weeks to speak to somebody to triage me. And then I was told that I had to wait 8 weeks to speak to a counsellor. And I was like, I can't wait that long. I haven't.
That's 2.5 months. You get to the point, like, I've come to this point where I'm finally ready to admit that I need help, seek out the help. You need it in that moment, not 10 weeks from that moment.
Right. And I remember, like, being on the phone and I was like, I was just speechless. Like, I think in a lot of people as well, and like we were talking about before, they realize too late. And yeah, it was too late for me. And I guess where MindUp is different, and what I love about what we do, is that we can support people at whatever stage of their life, and even the same day if they need it. And that won't just be, you know, clinical solutions like psychotherapy or talking therapy. It can be counseling, coaching, exec coaching, career coaching, maternity coaching, relationship counseling, nutritionists, hypnotherapy, and mindfulness. Like, we offer like the full spectrum, and we reduce that complete barrier of care. So there's no 10-week wait. You know, our users can speak to us the same day if they need to.
That's fantastic, because that's exactly when people need it. Yeah. It's nice to be able to reach out and get immediate help instead of having to wait however many weeks. And then by that time, maybe you've decided, I don't even want to do this anymore. I don't even want to go down this road.
No. And when I think about my situation, when I was in that boat where I had to wait 10 weeks, you know, it made me think about the article that you posted a few weeks ago about the cost of losing somebody as an employer. You know, it's not the equivalent of 2/3 of their salary to, you know, replace that person with that's lost time or time to train up the new hire, etc. And the thought of somebody having to leave their job because they don't feel supported is just, it's just heartbreaking. And I mean, I think it's about 63% of our users would say that they would quit if they didn't have our support. So we benefit in our clients, not just the employees that we speak to.
That's incredible, because you think about the decision-making process that so many people have to go through, especially in the last 3 years, where so many of us have worked to the point of burnout, and you come to this fork in the road where you're like, do I continue my career or do I finally put myself and my mental health first? And I mean, I'm glad to see that 63% of people say they would quit and take care of themselves first. But we have such an issue right now with attracting, retaining talent. And if it's as simple as offering these types of tools to employees, why aren't we doing it? People are telling you what they need. Support your people, create a more human experience.
Absolutely.
So you had mentioned how MindUp helps employees at other companies, but what are some of the initiatives that you're working on internally to improve the employee experience at your startup?
So I'm quite new in the role. I've only been with the business for 4 months, but we've got, you know, big plans. For me, it's about creating a great place to work for our founding team, but also, you know, being an employer of choice as we start to scale. We're actually hoping to grow the business by 80% this year. So, you know, things like initiatives are really top of my list. We are really focused on building this nurturing and high performance, high trust culture that is built on safety, vulnerability, feedback, and just values. And that's really important that we, you know, protect that as we scale. And we're mostly remote, just like Compt. So connection for us is really important. We've got an app on Slack called Lupin, which is an app that allows us to express how we're feeling every day. So it will pop up at 8:30 in the morning and say, like, hey, how are you doing? How are you feeling? And you can kind of rate your mood, and you can also add some narrative. And for us, it's not about sharing when we feel good, but also when we're not feeling so good. And I've never really worked in a place where you can be vulnerable about everything and anything, and not have to, you know, taper who you are to fit in. And that counts for a lot.
I completely agree. That resonates with me so much. Our core values at Compt are balance and belonging, and everything that we do relates back to those things. So being able to create a culture where you can bring your true self to work, and not have to hide who you are. And on days where you're feeling just awful, sending a Slack message to your team being like, listen, I can't do this today. Like, this is just not, you are not going to get my best self. I know for me, I do a lot of writing. So if I'm like not in the right frame of mind, like I cannot focus. And I feel like we're in a culture that is safe enough for me to be able to admit that. And people are like, yeah, whatever. Like, you're getting your work done. Do it on your time when you're productive, when you're feeling it. And that's fantastic. And I am now going to tell everyone about this Lupin app because I'm very interested in that. I want to see how that can play into our culture and maybe offer a different communication tool for maybe those who aren't as like forthcoming with that, like as I am, because I have no problem saying I'm having a bad day.
Yeah, it's an amazing app. And, you know, we don't speak to each other every day, depending on, you know, we're working different departments and things. So I'll always kind of make a habit of checking in the morning just to see, you know, what people are saying or doing or feeling. And if somebody isn't feeling okay, I'll just be like, hey, do you want to get a coffee later? Or, you know, I'm really sorry to hear that you're feeling like that, and send a hug or a little gift to lighten their mood and things. And it's just really important because, you know, work and it's so busy, but having that time out with your colleagues is really important.
Yeah, that alone is creating this culture where you can build trust and more of a personal relationship with your coworkers. And I think that especially in the remote, hybrid, dispersed kind of world that we're in right now, that is huge. So it's like those little continued meaningful things that we do for one another is what really counts.
Yeah. And just getting to know everybody as humans, like, you know, some things that come up in those conversations that you just never get the opportunity to chat about, whether it's pets or family or I don't know. It's just really nice to connect.
That's fantastic. So tell me a little bit more about the MindUp benefits maybe that you're using personally.
I think I touched on it before actually, but yeah, we also, you know, use our service. We have so many practitioners over loads of different specialisms, and you know, it's about supporting the person that you need. So, you know, we've all got our favorite coaches or our favorite counselors or therapists. And I have a coach and a therapist on rotation every alternate weeks, and I can't tell you, you know, how much more resilient I feel because of that. You know, like I said before, I wish I had this benefit at other businesses, because I really think it's just so important to have that outlet and that those kind of touch points to talk about some things that are just in your head and you're just hearing them for the first time, because you know, you're vocalizing them to your coach or your therapist, and it's quite cathartic, but also gives you that point of growth.
Right. Well, Rachel, I could talk to you probably forever about this and all sorts of things. You're just so easy to talk to. And I love that we were able to connect today and share your personal story and also more about MindUp, because I think it's just a really fascinating startup. I really appreciate that the things that you're trying to do in your organization are some of the things that we're trying to do, and maybe together and more startups can join us building a better world of work for all of our people. So I want to, before we go, give you a moment to tell people where they can find you, reach you, ask any questions, learn more about MindUp.
Yeah, give maybe me
the details.
Of course, it's mindup.com, which is MYNDUP.com. And we're on all of the social channels as well. But yeah, feel free to reach out to me if you want to chat.
Great. Thanks so much. I appreciate your time.
Bye, Lauren.
Bye, everyone.